we first met the lovely and talented Scott Bushnell, the what is your title, Scott?
It's Advertising Creative Manager.
Which is a different title than it used to be.
I used to be the art director, but now I manage art and writing.
Art and writing. And on top of all the good work you do for the Kennedy Center on a daily basis, you are also sort of the Rudeau Shakespeare Company's sort of graphic artist in residence here in D.C.
Yeah, that's right. It's been fun to work on the posters for the shows over the years and see the shows in development and how they then see the product on the stage.
Well, and you designed our logo, our Rudeau Shakespeare Company logo.
Yes, I did.
Which it seems come to me in the last couple of weeks. It seemed inevitable that we would do a sports show because of that sports right. logo you designed.
Right. Yeah, because when we were talking about it, we didn't want it to look too Shakespearean because you had the foresight to say we're not going to always do Shakespeare.
Right.
And to kind of emphasize the reduced, make that the biggest thing in the logo. So.
Right, which is a very tiny joke in and of itself.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 327, Social Media Marketing. So here's a weird thing. You know, you can search our website, right? You just click on a person's name or a podcast title or a keyword or a production or a script down in the little search box. Well, I was trying to remember something that our old friend Scott Bushnell from the Kennedy Center had told me, so I was searching for his podcast episode on our website. Well, it turns out, although I recorded the interview with Scott the last time we played the Kennedy Center in the summer of 2011, I never posted it. It's just been sitting there, waiting to be edited and put together and posted. So here finally is my chat with Scott Bushnell, who, in addition to all the posters and the logo he has designed for the Rudeau Shakespeare Company, began by telling me what he's responsible for there at the Kennedy Center.
Basically, I'm in charge of the creative aspect of all the marketing that we do for the show. So radio spots, newspaper ads, direct mail, brochures, emails, website. Social media. So basically just making sure that the message we're putting out there is consistent and that we're targeting the right people and positioning the show in the best way that we can.
Well, and there's countless shows you're working on. I mean, you've got the shows that are coming in 6 months. You've got the shows in the houses right now. How many shows are you dealing with at any one time?
Well, there's 8 theaters and we have 8 subscription series, so ballet, theater, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I think the number they quote is something like 3,500 performances a year, individual performances a year. So mm-hmm. it's quite a lot. And of course, we just joined with the Washington National Opera, so we now have opera as well to add into that mix. We're just now finishing marketing the season brochures for next season, which starts in September, and then we're going to start focusing on single ticket sales for all those shows.
Right. So you're not selling, I guess at some point you're selling the institution of the Kennedy Center, right? Or are you constantly focusing on this show and how it differs from the other shows that people have seen? I mean, it seems like you can't just sell one thing. You're constantly selling all these different things.
Yeah, I mean, we don't spend advertising on just an ad about the Kennedy Center. It's that we're always selling a show.
Yeah.
But we do sell groups of shows, you know, okay. subscriptions. So we're trying to, that's what we do at the beginning of the year, is right. trying to sell as many groups of shows as we can. And then we'll start to focus on them individually.
Okay.
We try to say that, you know, in terms of marketing the Kennedy Center, we call it institutional marketing. And that's really our presence through press and coverage in the media of all the stuff that we present and okay. kind of the overall quality of what we present
right.
being
right.
represented that
of,
way.
Of the highest.
Yes.
Yes. And so all the Rudeau Shakespeare Company does is sort of bring that level down.
There's room for everyone. Every type of performance here.
Politically put. Has the Rudeau Shakespeare Company ever been part of a subscription series here at the Kennedy Center? We're always here in the summers.
We definitely always offer them as an option on the theater series. Okay. I don't think it's been a required part of a package.
Right.
But, they're always, once we know about it, we start selling it.
And that's a different challenge, isn't it? I mean, to get to sell, all right, so we're here, the Terrace Theater has 500 seats, we're doing 5 weeks of performance, that's 40 performances times 5, whatever that is. I can't do the math because I'm terrible because I'm in the theater. that's a lot of tickets to sell all on a single ticket basis. So that's a bigger, is that a bigger challenge than selling subscriptions? Part of a series?
Yeah, I mean, really, that the mathematics is the reason why we sell subscriptions, because the more tickets we can sell up front, the less we have to sell when we get to that single ticket stage.
Right.
So we want to try to get as many subscribers as we can at the beginning, and then that makes our job easier down the line when we're 2 months out from a show.
Right.
We have fewer tickets to actually sell. So, you know, occasionally we'll get something booked at the last minute where it is we're selling from zero, and that is a challenge.
Right.
But when we have a subscriber base in there, it's kind of we get a head start.
Yeah.
But you know, for Reduce Shakespeare, again, as soon as we know about it, we're trying to add it on to anything that we can and give people the option to buy it.
Well, and have you seen over the years patterns change for subscribers and single tickets, buying tickets in advance versus walking up on the night?
Well, certainly I think people's buying habits have changed, and people are less willing to commit to big packages.
Right.
Like, for instance, the symphony, we sell 7 concerts. And it's a big financial commitment and a big time commitment. And so we have seen some decline in numbers that way. So we start to, after we try to sell the 7, then we start repackaging. We sell 4, and then we choose 3. And then we repackage in smaller and smaller groups until we get to finally single tickets. Yeah.
But really, your job is probably the easiest job in all of marketing for theaters, because it's the Kennedy Center, right? And everything you do here is fabulous, and people come here no matter what, right?
I would say certainly, you know, people expect a level of quality with what we present. Mm. And so certainly, you know, if you want to see world-class ballet, there's really no other place in town to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we certainly have attractions sometimes that are challenging, that even though they're high-quality attractions, they have a hard time finding an audience. We had a piece called Fragments this season, which was works by Samuel Beckett, directed by Peter Brook, who's a very famous director.
Yeah, sure.
But it just was really hard finding the audience for that. And
I wonder if the audience for that doesn't think to go to the Kennedy Center.
We try to work with other theaters who might be presented similar kinds of work.
Mm-hmm.
Emailing to their people. Doing some affinity work, like contacting the Irish Embassy, and you know,
sure.
So any way we can approach it, we try to do that. And you know, it's a show that got great reviews, and the people that did see it loved it, but it was just hard getting people in the door.
Do you ever get people who writing you, emailing, or the Kennedy Center saying that wasn't up to the quality I expect from the Kennedy Center?
You know, I think every institution has its share of people who want to complain, which is why you have customer service.
Okay.
And we have a really great customer service person who, I mean...
drinks heavily.
I mean, what I'm amazed at is just how, when she tells these stories, how composed she is, like how she can talk to patrons who make outrageous claims or requests, and she's able to calm them down and satisfy them ultimately.
Well,
so,
and so much of it is just patrons want to be heard. People want to be heard.
Sure, yeah. Some people just like want to have somebody to complain to. So.
We just had to be pulled away from one of our super fans, our regular audience members here at the Kennedy Center, who stopped us after the show and just wanted to talk to us and talk to us and talk to us. And if it weren't for our stage manager saying, we need those costumes, we'd still be there talking. Well, one thing that amazes me is about what you guys do is your embrace of social media, one reason that I assume that I know it's working are the kinds of people you've brought in to see the sports show, because in that first week of sports, we had people in the audience who I don't think go to theater much, and I think they go to more ball games than they go to theater because they were very vocal, like one is at a ball game.
Right.
You know, you walk it off. You know, throw the bums out. But in a good spirit. And I think you've been more successful than many of the theaters we've played the sports show at getting the audience that would seem most likely to be interested in the sports show. And how much of that was traditional marketing, radio ads, and how much of that was social media? And how does social media work into what you do here?
Well, I guess with social media, we try to, you know, again, it's a place where you can be more informal and engage on a direct one-to-one basis with your fans. We try to have fun in social media.
Which is great, because I would think Kennedy Center, oh my gosh, it's national art.
You know, it's funny. It's like we have this stereotypical impression of us as you know, for rich people, and we're hoity-toity, and we're, you know, stuffed shirt kind of a place.
Yeah.
And it's really not true, and we have to work really, really hard to overcome those impressions. And, you know, I mean, from the fact that we have a free performance every day, we have a lot of low-price performances. Yes, opera costs a lot of money, ballet costs a lot of money, but...
And then you have dopes like us in here.
Yeah. Like I said, we have room for everybody. And so I think social media is a place where we can kind of drop that institutional facade a bit and have a bit of fun. And it's been really great with you guys, because you guys are such, you know, pioneers in social media, that working with you, like last year we did the contest on Twitter, you know, asking people to send their movie math and movie mashups. And we got a lot of great response. And, you know, some people, we would just say, you know, give us your movie mashup, and they would do 15 in a row.
I know. Like, I remember. Yeah.
You know, so people really got into it, which was great.
I'm Joe Palco with National Public Radio, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next month, we return with performances of The Complete World of Sports Abridged in Scottsdale, Arizona and Moorhead, Minnesota. Then in April, we begin our 12-week UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised, followed by our return to London. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
If you go to the Kennedy Center website, which is kennedy-center.org, you get one impression of the Kennedy Center. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Kennedy Center Facebook page, you get a different one. The Facebook Kennedy Center page is the Kennedy Center that we know. You know, it's funky, it's funny, it's irreverent, and it's constantly changing. My gosh, are you in charge of that?
Well, we have a whole team, actually. We have five people that work, our social marketing team. And we make a schedule, so we try to plan in advance things that we know we want to talk about. And then we're also on a daily basis reacting to what people are doing. And we each take turns a week at a time to monitor the Facebook and Twitter pages. Because, you know, some places have a dedicated person for social media, and we just don't have that luxury. So we try to spread the work around to be able to manage it.
Well, it's interesting. I've been following other theaters and their attempts, successes, challenges with social media. And, you know, lesson number one is, would you assign the job of being the first point of contact with your audience an unpaid intern? You know, social media is important. You got to have the right people putting the message out.
Yeah, and actually, like with the schedule, usually, you know, I will actually even pre-write what we're going to post to give a bit of consistency to the voice on Facebook. Since we have five people doing it, I usually try to, you know, the ones that we're planning are more, a little more marketing-oriented messages, so I try to plan it so that somebody can just, whoever's weak it is, can cut and paste it. And it also makes it easier for them, so they don't have to try to think up something.
Do all of your tweets and Facebook messages, are they all sort of marketing-related in some way, linking to a review or linking to a press release or something? Or are you able to get, how do I say, political or personal with it, or do you keep it institutional?
I mean, it is institutional in the sense that, like, some organizations will have, like, the artistic director will be the person that's tweeting, and, you know, and it's them personally. Here, you know, it's a team of people, so we really are all representing the center. So, I mean, we try to not make it just all, we do link to reviews and things like that, but we'll just ask questions sometimes or have, you know, like, there may be an interesting article in the New York Times about story ballets. Are they dead? And we'll post that and have a discussion about it. We try not to get political. I mean, you know, we have donors and government funding and things, you know, we have to think about. So we try to, we were actually work with the press office to make sure that what we're saying is not going to cause any problems, you know.
Well, and I suppose you have to work with, I mean, everybody across the center has to be on message.
Wait,
but do you also give... lectures? Don't you also give lectures about social media to groups and things?
Well, we have here fellows. We have the DeVos Fellows. We have fellows that are here from September through May, and then we have summer international fellows that come for a month from countries all over the world, from arts organizations. And
I think I met one last night.
Yeah, so I do speak to them about the topic, and it's interesting to hear in other countries what people are doing and how in some countries, really that's the only way they have to communicate because people don't have email or they don't have money to spend on direct mail, so social media is the way that it's cheap and reaches a lot of people.
Cool. Do you have some do's and don'ts for theater companies or artists who are starting their own, Twitter feeds or Facebook pages?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing is if you're going to do it, you really have to commit to it and do it well. Mm. You know, if you're going to have a Facebook page and you post once a month, it's not worth having a Facebook page.
Right.
You really need to make the commitment to, if you're going to be social, you have to be out there and interacting. I mean, we try to post on Facebook 4 to 6 times a day, and on Twitter at least twice a day.
Yeah.
So, which is where the planning comes in. That helps make it easier if we plan ahead. But it's really important to do it well. And there's a lot of platforms out there. So there's other platforms that we're not using because we don't have the resources. So we're gonna, pick a couple and try to do them well.
Well, and you do more postings on Facebook than Twitter because I suspect you have more people on Facebook than following you on Twitter.
Yeah, and
I'm doing that wrong. We have more Facebook friends than we have on Twitter, but I Twitter more than I Facebook.
And the other interesting thing, and I noticed that we do a little differently than you, is that a lot of people will take their tweets and have them feed directly onto their Facebook page.
Yes.
And we actually don't do that. We, even if we are talking about the same thing, we'll post them separately because we want to use all our words on Facebook. Leave the abbreviations to Twitter.
Well, I see somehow that you haven't embraced the social medium of the podcast yet. Is that forthcoming?
I heard there might be a podcast by Suzanne Farrell because it's their 10th anniversary season of her company, and they're doing some activities in connection with that. And we have had her do it's been called Notes from the Ballet. So over the past couple of years, it's been emailed notes about the programs, her personal reminiscences of, having known the choreographer or having danced the piece. Oh. And so they decided for the 10th anniversary to actually do it in her voice, to do a podcast. So,
Cool.
And then the other thing is in our education department, Arts Edge is an educational website, and they do lots of podcasts.
Oh, cool.
And are actually very good at it. So.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and how can we find out about all of these things? Is there one-stop shopping for all these places, or we'll just put up links?
On the Kennedy Center website, at the bottom of every page, it has the Facebook and Twitter icons, which you can click on to get directly to those pages to follow us. And of course, now we are associated with the opera, so they also have their own Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can follow them as well. And we want to get more and more fans all the time.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your tiny logo jokes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, graphic language artist Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to, oh my God, Delphine, longtime fan from our very, very early message board days back in the 90s. No reason, it is just random. Special thanks to Joe Palka from National Public Radio, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 327 981st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Again, that so that there's. I usually pre-write the posts, so.
You're so popular.
Okay, bye. Did you just hang up on me?
So, marketing maven, graphic artist, social media pioneer, but doesn't know how to turn the phone down. Okay, Scott Bushnell.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.